Welcome to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. Join us today as we talk about real life, real truth, real purpose, and how to be living the good life. To begin our talk, here is Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Praise God. Here we are again. It's Sunday afternoon and it's 4:30 and it's Living the Good Life time. We're glad each of you have joined us today. We just love this so much, coming into the studio live with you every Sunday at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries. With me today in the studio is Kristen. Are you there?
Hello.
And Cricket, are you there?
Hey, everybody.
You know, I think people are beginning to know our personalities that are featured here on the show because I've had people say, hey, that one and that, you know, so they're beginning to get to know you guys, and it's great. We're so glad you're with us today. And all of you listening today, we're going to have a great show. We're going to talk about something that's actually going to change your life. No, it's not a new workout routine. No, it's not a new diet. It's not a new diet today, guys. No, it's not a new diet. This is something incredible. This is the incredible, awesome love of God in our lives. We're going to talk about the power of the love of God in our lives. Is it powerful? Is it? I believe it is with all my heart. God's doing some great things today, and it's because of the love of God in our lives. Here's our question for those of you out there who listen to that hook question first, and then you start thinking at what you would answer to this. How does the love of God working inside of you actually change you? Now, by that question, we're assuming that it does, that the love of God working on the inside of you does change you. Can that happen? How does that happen? We're going to talk about it in a minute here with Cricket and Kristen. That's exciting. We're glad you're tuned in today, and stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Do you wonder if the Bible has anything in it that truly matters to your life? Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope's Compass Group, we experience that God's Word is in real time, answers that help us today. Beacon of Hope is a progressive and affirming church, a community committed to seeing God's plans unfold in our lives. We believe more than ever that it's important for people to come together to look at the relevant, positive, and empowering Word of God. If you want to find out more about your purpose, if you're looking for a positive place to hang out and learn about a brighter future, if you have a desire for experiencing truth and hope in your life, come and join us at Compass every Wednesday night at 7. You can visit us on Sunday mornings now beginning at 11. Find out more at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You are welcome in this place.
We're gonna dance in the river. Praise God, we're gonna dance in the river. The river of God's love, and we're going to talk about that today. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you live from Clearwater, Florida, from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are excited today to talk about the love of God. Cricket, Kristen?
Well, let's talk about that question you asked a few minutes ago. How does the love of God inside of you change you?
Yes.
Well, you opened the show today by talking about we don't have a new diet plan or new workout to talk right. about, but in a sense, we do have a spiritual diet and a spiritual
right.
workout to talk about, because
okay.
I think these things encompass this question right here. For me, that analogy popped up earlier when we talked about this question just so clearly, how you are what you eat. We all know that old saying, you are
exactly.
what you eat. So if
I
you
am
are
a great big M&M.
A red one, from what I hear. A big red M&M.
Big red M&M.
We have a caricature of her looking like a big red M&M.
It's yes. perfect.
My
it's
friend
perfect.
Joan in Indiana right now is laughing because yep. she agrees with
it. It looks just like you, I'm telling you.
Yes, it does.
It's dead on. It's like your twin.
Birkenstocks and all.
Yep, exactly right.
Yeah.
So how does the love of God inside of you change you? Well, if you think about it as nutrition and exercise, that's kind of our walk as Christians. You are what you eat. So what we consume, consuming God's presence,
yes,
being in prayer with Him, being in communion with Him, being in friendship with Him,
amen,
consuming His Word,
yes,
which the water of life, God's Word, we feed on that.
Yes.
It brings nourishment to our body. It transforms us in a nutritionally spiritual way.
Right.
Then by walking those things out, by daily performing the things that God tells us in His Word that He wants us to do, which help us grow closer to Him, grow our faith stronger, grow our love deeper.
Amen.
We grow our spiritual muscles like an, yes, exercise program. So that's kind of my analogy.
So it is
thinking.
A spiritual diet.
It
in
sure
a way.
Is. A spiritual, okay, diet and exercise plan.
It's a new
plan.
Way of living, correct?
Absolutely. Inside and
Can
out.
Can you remember a time, Kristen, when you didn't walk with the love of God? Or have you always, you were saved at a young age. You grew up in a great spiritual family, I know.
Yeah, I've been a Christian since I was a little tyke. But,
yeah.
So I've always known God's love, but I'm sure that there's been times in my life where I haven't been on my spiritual diet as well as I should have, and my responses and how I was to the outside world was much more probably not in love and more selfish,
eating junk food, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I think when you spend time with God, God is love.
Yes.
So when you're spending time with God, and you can't help but experience His love if you are really getting to know Him and spend time in His Word and spend time in His presence and praise Him, you can't help but feel that love. And when you're feeling that love from God, it changes you, because that's what you have to give out then.
Amen.
It changes you because you look at things differently. It's much easier when you've experienced God's love to lay down your flesh and not be selfish, but then turn around and love somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But a lot, mm-hmm, of people, even Christians, spend their lives full of criticism and judgment of others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And because of that, it's that comes out of them. It's, mm-hmm, what you just said, garbage in, garbage out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we are just putting junk into our spirit, man, and when we have those opportunities to interact with other people, mm-hmm, we just let all that ugly out. How does that affect the kingdom of God?
Oh, it's offensive to the kingdom of God.
I mean, and we call ourselves Christians.
Right, exactly. You know, and I think a lot of us walk around with that. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, walk around with that kind of level, or maybe a mediocre level. And sometimes, you know, you stop in your tracks if that's the kind of walk you have, and you think on occasion, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. Why is things so mediocre? God's not mediocre. He's the creator of all things. Why, right, is this mediocre? Well, because we're taking mediocre things in, we're putting mediocre things out, or even worse. You are a great person to actually answer this question. I'm curious what you think. You spend a lot of time.
She's asking me a
question. That's right.
Now.
We're asking you now.
Turning the tables.
What do you see in your walk? I mean, you spend a lot of time preparing for preaching and teaching.
Amen.
So I know you have a lot going in and a lot going out. How have you seen it change you over the years?
The more that I'm in the Word, the more that I respond correctly when people do push my buttons the wrong way.
Ah.
You know, the more I'm in the Word.
So there's a benefit?
Yeah, there's a real benefit, because the more I am in the Word and the more I'm full of God, I give a better response when somebody says something ugly to, mm-hmm, me. You know, it's exactly what you take in, mm-hmm, is what's going to come out of you.
Compassion and things ooze out more freely.
The more Word that you have on the inside of you. But what keeps us from getting that? What keeps us from getting that kind of time to spend in the love of God and the Word of God?
Me.
What changes this?
The me factor.
The me factor.
It
What's
always
the me
comes
factor?
Down to me factor. Well, I'm in this body and I feel everything that happens to this body, and I know all the emotions that this person feels.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you feel.
Right.
I don't know what a pinprick feels to your skin. I don't know what emotions you feel currently right now. You seem pleasant. So I'm
Do
assuming
I seem pleasant
So
today?
I assume pleasantries are going on.
Well,
but
I'm
I don't know
at
that.
You for
there you go.
That.
There you go.
So yes, I feel pleasant.
So if
today.
I can only feel what I'm experiencing,
yeah,
it's so easy to just consume on that.
Yes.
That even though my eyes can see the outside world, it's all about what those things are doing to this
to you
shell,
right,
and to the interior of the shell. So you just get wrapped up in yourself. If you don't have that push from God, it's like it comes in from heaven down into your head and into your heart, and then it kind of pushes out through your mouth and through your eyes and through your breath and your hands. And if you don't have that force pushing into you and then God pushing out, well, then it seems like it's in reverse. The world then is pressing in and you're throwing out then the junk that the world gives you.
Exactly.
It's like reverse order, which is unhealthy.
Is it hard, Kristen, to always stay in that place where we're giving out the love of God? Would you say it's a little difficult, maybe?
It's definitely...
Challenging.
Challenging, yeah. Okay. It's definitely not that that human nature, but God created us.
Right.
So I can't say that it's not our human nature, but that sinful human nature, it's right. Not that. It's all dependent on the time you spend with God.
It is.
The time you spend with God, when you're doing that on a regular basis, you have love to give out.
Amen.
And even, you know, I think about people who've gone through hard times, who've gone through, you know, cancer or something like that, who knew God and right. loved God, they still during those times were giving to other people. I'm thinking of what is it, Dodie Osteen? I've read her.
Dodie Osteen, yes. Healed of cancer. That's right. Joel Osteen's mother,
right.
And that all happened in the early '80s when I was pastoring in Indiana,
right.
And we were like hearing these reports, and it was incredible what was going on in their lives at that time.
I've read her book, and through all of that, she was still loving other people.
Yes,
because
amen.
She had the word of God. She had God's love in her life,
right.
And she kept giving it out. And that's the difference. I mean, it can be hard, but if you're walking with God,
yes,
and you have that, and you're receiving love from God, it's not hard. It then does become our nature.
And are there benefits to walking in that kind of love?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I always kind of picture the fruit of the Spirit, for example, all being around us. Every one of us has ample access to the fruit of the Spirit, all those wonderful things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. You know,
oh, yeah.
And it's how it caps it off with self-control. Isn't that nice that it's the very last one to kind of summarize it all? And if they're all there, we have access to it. It's not like you have to do a lot of hoop jumping through and such, but you just have to pluck it, and then you have to exercise it to make it work. There's a benefit right there. All of those things encapsulated for us.
Amen.
If we will just reach out and take them, but you only get those when you're in God's presence.
That's right. Praise God. This is great. This is going to be a great show, I can tell. I'm so glad you're all with us today. Stay tuned. Listen to this great song. It's entitled Madly.
And I'm madly in love with you, Tim. And I'm madly in love with you. And I'm madly in love with you. Yeah, I'm madly in love with you. Let what we do, let what we do in here fill the streets out there. Let us dance for you, let us dance for you. Let what we do in here fill the streets out there. Let us dance for you, let us dance for you.
And I'm madly in love with you. And I'm madly in love with you. Yeah, I'm madly in love with you.
Speak out your love to him.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
Praise God. Thank you for joining us today. It's Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are going to get in the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter 4 today. That song said, I'm madly in love with you. Now, have any of you out there in our listening audience today ever been madly in love with someone? I can vaguely remember that back a few eons ago. I believe I have, and I believe most of you have, right? You can say, wow, I'm just in love with this person. They're just consuming me. Guys, the goal of this show today is we want to point you to a relationship with God where you are madly in love with him, where you see a benefit to falling in love with him, and because you do, your life changes all for the better. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. I'm reading out the Message Bible that I teach out of a lot. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other. Since love comes from God. That's where it comes from, guys. You're able to love because God is love. And you're going to see that in this next verse. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. Okay? The reason you got saved, if you gave your heart to God, if you haven't, then right now is the time to do it. If you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, that's what you need to do. That's how you start this life of love with God. You start it by saying, God, come into my heart, live inside of me. Now, when that happens, dear one, God is, one word, God is love. God is love. God is not judgment. You say, oh, God does judge. Yes, that's not the point. God is. His essence is love. And it says that in this verse. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God. If you run across people that just don't seem to love, they have a really bitter, nasty attitude. Every time you're around them, they are hung up on criticism and judgment and nastiness and negativity. There's something wrong with their relationship with God because God is love. If you have a loving relationship with God, there's no way that you cannot be affected by that. Because it says here in 1 John 4, I'm in verses 7 to 10, God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. Now, that's kind of a backwards way of saying if you're not walking in love, you don't really know God. Something's wrong with your relationship with God. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds a little harsh. No, that's just the Bible. That's what it says. If you don't love, you don't know God. Something is wrong right there. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. See, this is why we can develop this life of love, because the nature of the Father is all love. And he sent his son, Jesus, as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. This morning, I was preaching on another aspect of this at Beacon of Hope and saying this, that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. That is Acts 10:38. Matthew 9:35 says this, and I love this. This just shows his nature. It says, Jesus moved with compassion. Okay? Now, compassion has a lot to do with you see a need and you want to do something about it. Well, you don't want to do something about it if your life is totally consumed in yourself, like we were talking about earlier. If all you see is you, your needs, oh, how that affected me, they said that to me, they did that to me, you won't believe what they did to me or what they said about me. If that is where your focus is, you're not going to ever develop the compassion to heal the sick. Now, Jesus is the healer, but he uses us to lay hands on people. He uses us to speak life to people. He uses us to speak the words of healing to people. And he does that because of the nature of his great presence, which is love. It is compassion. That is it. That's who he is. And so when we get a hold of that and we realize God is love, Jesus got a hold of that. He was God, of course, in human form, walked this earth. And it says in Matthew 9:35 that Jesus, filled, moved by compassion, went out and healed all who were oppressed. He went out and healed people because of the love of God on the inside of him. Dear one, when you are motivated by the love of God on the inside of you, you want to bring healing to people. You don't want to see people sitting over there in distress and anger and fear and bitterness and unforgiveness. You want to give them an answer for that. You want to breathe life into them. This is verse 11 of 1 John chapter 4. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, boy, we certainly ought to love each other. Now, you see, when God loves us so much that he cares what happens to all these creatures he has created, when he loves us so much that he says, you know what? It's just not working the way it was. I've got to intervene in time. And we all know that about 2,000 years ago, God intervened big time by sending his son Jesus to this earth. That was all motivated by love. Guys, it was all because of his great love for us that he sent his son Jesus to this earth. And it says here in verse 11 of 1 John, my dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. You know, really, we don't have an option here. We ought to love each other. And we're going to talk about that in our discussion in a minute, whether or not we have an option, whether or not that is something that we can rationalize away. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us. This is like a litmus test. I was a chemistry teacher many years ago as a chemistry teacher. And I remember the litmus paper. And some of you out there probably remember when you took a piece of paper and you put it in a solution. If it turned red, it was acidic. If it turned blue, it was basic. Right. Thank you. Yeah, because it has been a long time since I taught that. The litmus paper, the test right now for whether or not you are doing the will of God and abiding in the will of God is really, guys, how deeply do you love? How deeply do you love? If we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. Skip down with me to verse 17 of 1 John chapter 4. God is love. Now, the Apostle John who wrote this said those very same three words up a few lines that we just read. Now in 1 John 4:17, we see it again. Three words, a complete sentence. It doesn't say God is love, but da-da-da-da-da. This complete sentence in 1 John 4:17 says, God is love, okay? Now, that is his nature. Now, I go back to this point. When you got saved, and I assume that most of our listening audience today knows Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If not, here is a wonderful thing for you if you accept him into your heart. You will be accepting into your heart the essence of God, all that God is, okay? God is love. Okay? It does not say here God is hatred, God is vengeance, God is getting even with you, God is judgment, God is doing these things to try to make you uncomfortable. It doesn't say that. It says God is love. Okay? When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, and that's something that we may or may not do. Some of us may get to a point in our life we realize, what is missing in my spiritual life? The joy isn't there. The desire to go to church and read the word isn't there. What is wrong? I propose to you today, dear ones, that when you feel like that, there's something wrong with your love life. And we're going to entitle this show today, Live a Lover's Life. Okay? If you have lost your zeal for God, if you have lost your desire to open the word, if you have lost your desire to talk to people about God and his love, something's wrong. And what that something is has everything to do with how much you love God, how much you are spending time with the one you love. When God takes up permanent residence in us, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Love has the run of the house. My dogs, Bailey and Zoe, they have the run of the house. I mean, they're in charge. They are in charge. They just, you know, tell me what to do sometimes. But basically, they have the run of the house. There's no room in my house that Bailey and Zoe can't go in. They have the run of the house. Guys, the love of God inside you should have the run of your house. You should become a house of love. We will be right back, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment. So stay with us, Living the Good Life.
Broadcasting live from Dave and Lola's Radio World, AM 1340, WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350, WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel. Listen.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
Praise God. We're glad you're with us. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you live from Clearwater, Florida today. Beacon of Hope Ministries presents Living the Good Life. It's a great time to talk about the love of God and you being the house of love instead of the house of pain. How's that?
I got a song going through my head.
What is it?
It's the Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love? I just won't stop going on.
The Bee Gees. Yeah, I thought you were a little young for the Bee Gees.
Well, I guess I was pretty young. I was pretty little. But yeah. I do remember that song, Elevators. Okay, I hear it in the elevators.
Okay.
Since I'm so youthful.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, how deep is your love? I really need to know. Because you know that song. I won't go on.
But sounds pretty darn good.
That's my little karaoke moment. But yeah. I just keep hearing that song because we're talking about
right.
the deepness of your love.
Yes.
And how that just transforms your life. You know, in a lot of ways, I think a lot of this just has to be kind of a faith thing, a small faith
Amen.
Beginning step of just,
yes, it does.
You know, it's kind of like a challenge. Try it. Mm-hmm. Try it and see what happens. And there, I will guarantee your life will transform.
Yes.
And the more you put into it, just like anything else, but this especially, because this is rudimentary, this is foundational, this Amen. Is the most important thing that you could put effort and time and money and anything else that you've got to put into it is God's love and God's kingdom and God's plan
why
for your life.
Why is it so important?
Because that's why we're here. It's the point of everything.
Exactly.
God is the creator of all things. If everything that my eye sees, he created, he's pretty important.
Right.
And you kind of touched on this a little bit when you were talking about putting your time, if you're not in the Word, if you're not doing this.
Right.
I heard an analogy a couple weeks ago on the radio talking about how we don't put enough stock in our time with God.
Right.
And the concept, which really flipped a switch inside of me, was if you were going to meet your favorite celebrity, how would you prepare for that meeting?
Hmm.
You knew you were going to meet the movie star that you just love. When that movie comes out, man, you're there the opening night. You just love this star.
Right.
All of a sudden, you get a phone call from their producer or their manager.
Get to meet them.
And you get to meet them. You get a personal phone call. How would you prepare for that meeting? Well, you'd clean up. You'd get prepared. You'd probably not just come and have nothing to ask. You'd probably prepare some questions that you wanted to talk to them
right.
about. You're going to sit down.
I would have to talk to Oprah.
Oprah, there
yes.
you go. So
and
you would probably put some time into preparing if you knew you were going to see her in a couple of weeks. You'd
well,
be like,
I want to. I want
you
to see
want to
Oprah.
See Oprah.
Yeah.
Oprah. Okay, well, there
really
you go. So maybe you're already preparing
maybe
for
I
that.
Maybe I am in my mind.
But wouldn't we make a big effort?
Yes, we would.
To plan for that
mm-hmm.
time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the creator of that star.
Yes.
The creator of every kind of concept that any director could create in any movie that we absolutely love that made us like these movie stars.
Right.
Is the God that we serve.
Amen.
And if we don't take time on a daily basis to make that such a priority,
yes.
more stock than a moment, 15 minutes with the president, you know, a dinner date with your new madly in love dating potential in
I
your life.
I don't have one of those right now, but
no,
anyway.
Someday, maybe again.
Someday.
But don't we just make a huge
yes,
effort
yes.
when we find someone to go out on a date with?
Right.
Don't we just, we think about everything. Don't you look at your clock and you say, okay, we're going to back this up
yeah.
2 hours because I'm going to need 2 hours to get ready and I'm going to pick out my clothes. And sometimes I go and buy special clothes.
Right.
And I pick exactly how I'm going to smell.
Right.
And I know exactly what I want to do to my hair. And I plan maybe even the music that I play in my car while we drive here and there. I mean, you make an effort,
wow.
don't you?
Man, I can't remember
Didn't
this.
No, she was thinking about
think,
all that.
Yeah. Kristen, do you relate to any of this? Is it important to you to spend that kind of time for God? And why don't people out there spend that kind of time and attention? Like Cricket said, getting ready for a date, getting ready to
Big
experience
priority.
Time mm-hmm. with him.
You know, I think probably more than anything, we don't see the immediate effect on our life. We're
benefits.
Yeah,
we're a society of benefits.
I don't think people understand the benefits of it. That
yes.
I mean, I hear all this, and you know, we talked about healing people and preparing to see God, but you know, I'm in a let's say, for example, there's people out there that are, you know, in a relationship and they love this person, but it's, you know, there's always these bickerings and you know, it's
right.
a good thing, or they have a job that's hard. And why am I going to spend time with God? What's the purpose of that
mm-hmm.
when I've got these things going on in our life? And what I've experienced in my life is that when I spend time with God,
what happens?
Then those things I change.
Right.
I don't want to start to say that person that I might have been bickering with starts to change. I change.
Amen.
I change. And I start to love. I
right.
start to take my eyes off of myself and I start to go, I wonder what they need. I wonder how I can love them. I wonder what I can do differently to make them happier so they're not so unhappy. I wonder what I can do in my job to be a better employee so that the people that I work with are not so, you know, it's a snowball effect.
It is.
When you spend time with the Lord, with the King of Kings,
Amen.
With the one who loves us and created us and the author of love, the guy who created this whole thing of love that we talk about in right ways and wrong ways all across our society.
We sing songs about
we
it
We sing
all
about
the time.
It. Exactly. When we spend time with God, when
right.
we spend time with love and study love and learn about love, then we
I've
become
to throw
better.
I've got a personal experience into this for just a second.
Oh, goody. Go
okay.
for it.
I grew up in Central America. My parents were missionaries, and maybe they're listening today. They do a lot. And I loved the kids, the Spanish kids I grew up with. I just loved them so much. I was a part of that culture, and that was my life. I spoke Spanish, and I loved it. We came back to the United States when I was 16, and I entered high school as a sophomore in Marion, Indiana. And I immediately hated it. I hated being back in the States. I didn't feel like I belonged. Mm-hmm. I felt awkward. I heard people speaking English in grocery stores, and there really were grocery stores instead of open-air markets. And I was so uncomfortable that I would dread getting up and going to high school every day. I dreaded it because I didn't feel like I belonged. And to make a long story short, there was a revival. My dad was preaching in his home church of South Marion Friends Church in November of whatever year that was that I was a sophomore in high school. I'm not going to tell you that because that way you could add it up. But anyway, that night, God spoke to my heart. And I walked that church down to the front of that church. And I was miserable. I was miserable to be in the United States. I didn't have friends. I didn't feel like I belonged. I had no purpose for my life. I walked that aisle, and I remember falling across that altar as a 16-year-old and saying, God, you got to do something to me. I don't love these people. I love my friends. They're in Guatemala. I love them. That's where I want to be. And God supernaturally, guys, reached down into my heart that night. I will never forget it as long as I live. And he absolutely changed my heart into a heart of love for people. And I began to start talking to kids at school. I began to see people getting saved. They would call me at night, my friends. I would lead them to the Lord. My life changed, but it took me being desperate for God to do something. And I wasn't planning on telling that story today, but that fits right here.
Sure does. That's a good story. It sounds to me that, and from what both of you just said, compassion has a lot to do with real love. I don't know what Webster has or Wikipedia says about love, but I would assume somewhere in there, compassion has to be a part of it for it to be true and real. Otherwise, we have different kinds of versions of love that aren't full, fulfilling. Because if you don't have compassion, something's definitely missing.
Yes.
So if you feel that you have love for people, but you don't have a lot of compassion, something needs checked and rewired.
Exactly.
Something's definitely missing. A healthy compassion, may I add.
Yes.
Not a trying to save the day constantly kind
rescue
of compassion. And yeah, that gets out of control and that ends up being a bit of an ego trip. But
that's the job for Underdog or Mighty Mouse.
Right. Let them do that. Exactly.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Kristen, you have a thought on this?
Well, I'm just sitting here staring at 1 John 4.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Down in 20 to 21,
mm-hmm.
It says, the command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people.
Ooh.
You've got to love both.
Oh, that
Amen.
Is so good.
I heard recently, I was listening to something, and somebody was talking about, do you know if you're going to heaven?
Right.
And a lot of times when you ask people that question, they might say, well, yeah, I believe in God.
Yeah.
But I'm a good person.
I'm a good person.
That's a big comment.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm a good person.
I'm a good person. I live a good life.
Yeah,
I'm a good
person.
I've heard that so many times.
I don't
yeah.
rape and pillage and
right.
murder
I'm
and steal.
I'm a good person. I try to be good, you know. And I just talking about love, it really does come down to accepting that love that God gave to us when he
Amen.
Sent Jesus. We just listened to One Way Jesus, right?
Yes.
That is the only way that we can get to heaven.
Yes.
And by choosing this now, by not waiting until the end of life to say, okay, God, now I need you. You start to live a good life when you walk daily in the love of God. First John talks all about not worrying about judgment day, not worrying and fearing,
right.
because when you have love fully developed in you,
yes.
you can't fear. If you're fearing, then there's something wrong. You don't have love fully formed in you yet.
Exactly.
And really, this whole concept of love and God's love for us and our love for other, if you're in a point in your life where there's some struggles or there's a tension in relationships or anything like that, it goes back to saying, okay, God, show me how to love. Let me learn about love. And that's when you start to experiencing the joy in life.
Okay, you are saying something very, very drastic here, Kristen. And I do agree with you, okay? But I want to go back and make this point. There have got to be thousands of people listening today who are having problems in mm-hmm. relationships. They are having problems in a love relationship, a marriage. They are having problems in relationships with their kids or their family or coworkers. This is a prevalent problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, so it's a given. There are a lot of people that are just having a hard time getting along. Have you ever known somebody that just never can get along with anybody? They just say the wrong thing. They're caustic. They're toxic. They're
and I think even in the best of relationships, when two human people get together, sometimes it's really hard to learn how to love each other.
Exactly.
No matter how much you do love them,
right.
It's hard to.
You have to accept differences. Mm-hmm. You have to be tolerant. You have to learn.
You have to be selfless.
There will be conflicts.
Selfless. There will
be
conflicts.
But then what do you do?
Right.
You know, because it's, I think the difference that I see in people that are really doing this well,
yes.
that have really gotten this down, and they've hung their hats on these principles, and they've said, okay, I'm really going to live there.
Yes.
I think the difference between them and then other people that just constantly go round and round or on the verge of divorce and on the verge of just, you know, and their kids are estranged and all this crazy stuff. The difference is really the practice of it. How immersed do you get before you cry out to God? I think the people that are doing it well will get ankle deep and be like, okay, stuff's going wrong. They feel the wet immediately on their feet of mm-hmm. disaster starting. And they immediately say, okay, Lord, selflessness kicks in. And they go, Lord, help me. What am I doing here? And they self-evaluate and they try quickly at the beginning to get it back on track.
Right.
But others of us wait for the other people to come around and stop doing this to us or whatever. And we don't look at ourselves and we don't. And even
exactly.
if we're not doing a whole lot, we still respond.
Right.
I might not have caused the conflict. I might be unjustly persecuted. I might have been falsely accused of something. But how was my response? There's always another side of the story. And usually we're not white as snow.
Right.
Usually we're not, even if we didn't cause the beginning. But you still have to remember what you push out causes another, you know, it's that pebble in the pond.
Yes.
The ripples.
Yes.
Whoever causes ripples, they're ripples.
Exactly.
The ripples are there.
Even a look can
mm-hmm.
cause
oh, yes.
a problem
Absolutely.
In a relationship. Even an attitude.
Unspoken word.
A shrugging of a shoulder. Mm-hmm. Not responding.
Just not responding at all.
Right.
Well, 85% of what we say isn't the words that come out of
this
our mouth.
True.
It's
oh,
the tone of voice and our
right.
body language.
That's a greatest statistic.
I think it's only 15% I heard recently. I believe that's correct. But it was a very small number of the actual English that comes out of your mouth mm-hmm. is what's being communicated.
Right. So if it's Spanish, it's different, right?
Well,
no. Okay. No.
The language that's okay. coming out of your mouth.
Right.
I have to,
Say
if
it.
I can, I have to brag about cricket recently because this made such an impact on me.
Wow. Well, please do. Go ahead.
I will.
Go right ahead.
She called me not so long ago and said, what can I do to be better to you?
Wow.
And she asked me three questions. I'm not sure if I remember all three of them, but basically
neither,
said,
so
what can I do to love you better?
Wow.
And this has been months ago. And I think about that day every day that she called and cared enough to ask. And it was an act of selflessness. And it's that kind of thing that happens in relationships.
Yes.
when you can put aside your own needs. And this wasn't me doing this. This was her humbleness, you know, coming
right.
to me and saying, what can I do to improve
right.
our relationships? That it's that kind of stuff that we can do.
We need to do that with each other. Our
with
family,
each other,
our marriages, whatever the case may be.
That's right.
Friendships.
What
mm-hmm.
can I do to make this better? But what it really boils down to for a lot of people is their focus. The word focus is critical here, guys. In our listening audience mm-hmm. today, listen to this. Where is your focus? Is your focus on developing your relationship with God, spending time with Him, getting in the Word, developing your relationship with God in the area of learning to love Him more? If that's where your focus is, you know what's going to happen? It's going to spill out to everybody around
mm-hmm.
you. It really is.
Really well.
But if your focus is that you continually play the old DVDs of how everybody hurt you, if you can remember when so-and-so said blah, 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 blah to you, and you can tell that story, and you mm-hmm. can tell it accurately, and you can add a few things to it, and you can remember every detail of what so-and-so said and mm-hmm. how they said it, if that is your focus, you will never live a life of love.
That's right.
The focus has to be centered around the love of God inside you and out coming from you.
Absolutely. And I think you got to take it a step further too, because I think the next in between getting it right phase happens a lot too. Even if you're not all on the bitter trail and still caught up, we then get sometimes get consumed with, well, what are people going to think about me acting all lovey and nice and whatever? Because that's not how I am. I mean, I say what I feel, and that's not me. And so I'll just pull back
tough
a little
guy,
bit.
Tough guy.
Right, or something like that. So then you start worrying, well, what if I go to my wife or my spouse or my best friend and say to them, hey, how are you today, really? And not just be the, you know, the casual. Yeah,
really care.
Yeah. Don't, you can't get hung up on that, though.
Right.
Because, you know, sure, if you're really that unusually, that's really not your personality to act that way, you might, they might think unusual thoughts, but I guarantee they're not going to be bad thoughts. They're going to be like, I mean, people need love today.
Amen.
Of all time. If people in this world really truly had compassion, would this world not be an incredibly better place than it is?
Oh, amen.
We're lacking it.
That's
devastatingly.
It. That's it. We mm-hmm. need this. We need this.
Yes, we do desperately.
You know, it's this whole theme has been on my heart for the last several weeks. You guys, you've brainstormed with me about this versus the pain in our lives leaving and being replaced by the love of God mm-hmm. in our lives. This is so critical. We have a whole lot more teaching and a whole lot more talk here in the next few moments. We are so glad that you've tuned in to Living the Good Life. Don't go anywhere. Just get up and get a fresh Diet Coke and listen to this great song. Sing and come right back.
Sing to the Lord. Open up your heart.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
Praise God, praise God. Open up your heart and sing. I'll tell you what. You know what makes people get in to church and open their mouth and praise God? That is just that love for God that makes them want to worship God. We had one of the most tremendous times of praise and worship today at Beacon of Hope, Dunedin. It was incredible. The Spirit of God just fell as we began to worship God. And it was done because we just desired to come into the sanctuary, lift our hands, lift our voices, and love God with all that is within us. We are talking today, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister, we are talking today about the love of God that works on the inside of us. And we are in 1 John chapter 4, and we were down around verse 18 or so, and it said that there is no room in love for fear. Fear is what keeps us from really stepping out and loving God. We're afraid, a lot of us. We're afraid of giving up our old lifestyle. We're afraid of that God's going to tell us, oh, you got to spend this amount of time in the Word. We're afraid that God's going to want us to go to church. Duh, yes, He does. He wants you to go to church and worship Him. He wants you to go and hear the Word of God. A lot of times we are afraid of what God will want us to do. So it's hard for us to just release all that love to Him. Let me tell you, love is not a bad thing. When you reach out to love God, He blesses your life like you will never, ever imagine. Remember what it felt like when you first fell in love the very first time. Didn't your whole life change? Didn't your life revolve around, I mean, something totally different? Couldn't you just hardly wait to get to a phone and call that one? Maybe you fell in love so long ago that there weren't phones. Okay. Well, then telegraph. Could you just telegraph on the Morse code? I love you. Anyway, you know what? You just couldn't wait to tell that person, I love you. I love you. I can't wait to see you. God is saying that to you today, my friend. I love you so much. I just want to spend time with you. Where you been? Where have you been? And I would say to you, from Him to you, where have you been? Where have you been? God wants to spend quality time with you. Yesterday, I returned home after being gone on a retreat for 2.5 days, and it was a fantastic time. And I walked back in the door, and somebody had been babysitting my dogs, and I was greeted at the door by them. And Zoe Grace, my dachshund, began to wail. She laid her little head back, and she was just like, it was more than just a bark. It was like, where have you been, Mommy? Where have you been? I just wanted to spend time with you, because her favorite thing to do in all the world is to play ball, soccer, or to lay on my lap. Those are her two big events. And so she just needed to spend time with me. Guys, God, I give you that picture of my little dachshund feeling that way and wailing. I mean, I couldn't even hardly get her to shut up because she was so glad to see me. Wow. Folks, when you spend time with God, He's that glad to see you. Did you hear me? He is that glad to see you. We're talking about building the house of love. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about build the house of pain. And I don't want to go back there, because we have been saying, and we had a whole show last week on the fact that God can turn our pain into joy. Praise God. And God wants you to become a house of love. I want you to see yourself as a habitation of the love of God. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit within us. When you got saved, when you said, come into my life, come into my heart, Jesus, come in and live in me, Holy Spirit. When you did that, the love of God came into your heart. Did you know that? It wasn't a bunch of judgment and criticism and nastiness and bitterness. That's not what God gave you when He came into your heart. God is love. God is love. If you take notes, write that down. That is 1 John 4:8. God is love. That's the essence of His nature. Okay? So when you got saved and God came into your heart, He came in to set you free. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5 a moment, and I want to read just a couple verses. Galatians chapter 5. And in the Message Bible, they're in paragraphs, but I'm in the paragraph that is verses 13 to 15 and about halfway through that paragraph. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. We're going to talk in a moment about serving one another in love. And what does that mean? We are called to be free. We are free to serve each other in love. We really are. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Now, I tell you what, with the beginning of a verse that says that, we all better be getting our ears on, right? Get your ears on. Are you ready to listen? Everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Okay. We can bicker and we can talk and debate. And by the way, I refuse to do that kind of thing. I don't debate with people about different aspects of God's word anymore. It's all about loving people, guys. It's not about whether or not you win a debate. It's not about whether or not, because Jesus is coming back, whether you're a pre-trib, a mid-trib, or a post-trib person. Some of you are going, what are you talking about? The fact that you don't know, that's fine, because it's not about that. It's about the love of God working in you. Yes, those things are important, and yes, Jesus is coming back. But listen to this verse. Everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. This has got to be a very important sentence. I'm reading it one more time. Everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Some of you out there are going, okay, read the sentence. Okay, here it is. Love others as you love yourself. Whoa, that's a true act of freedom, it says. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? Whoa. This says, love others as you love yourself. Now, some of you are sitting there going, I don't love myself. I don't even like myself. I think I'm pretty disgusting. I don't like to spend time with me, but I have to. I'm forced to because I live in this body. And you know what? I'm pretty insecure about me. And I don't really love myself. It's got to start with you loving yourself because God loves you. He created you just the way you are. Some of you out there are saying, but you don't know what I'm like, and you don't know the problems I have, and you don't know the issues I have. Do you know what? That's why we have this radio broadcast every week. We are so much believing that when we give out these words of life to you, that you understand them, that you get them down on the inside of them of you, and it changes you. Because, guys, we can argue all day about how unworthy, how insecure, how not great we are, and God is looking at us going, I created you, honey, just the way you are. So you better get off that little platform because I created you the way you are. Beacon of Hope is known for accepting everybody. We don't care if you are striped. If you are striped out there, you're a zebra. And you're not really a zebra. But it, no matter what color you are, no matter what aspect of life you are, what lifestyle you have, God loves you. God loves you. God's love for you is so huge right now that he reaches down and says, hey, honey, I created you. You may be wrinkled up and ugly, but I created you. You may be pretty as all get out. You may be a cute young thing. You may be just a middle-aged thing that has a few aches and pains. You know what? God created you just the way you are. God loves you so much that he has a plan for your life. If you look with me at the house of love, there's a driveway that gets up to the house, and that is God's plan for you. God's plan for you, there is a driveway, and it takes you right to what you need to be. You need to be the house of love. I'm a realtor also, and I love pulling up to houses and kind of guessing before I walk in the door what they look like, because I've seen so many in 16 years of real estate that I can pretty well guess what the floor plan looks like a lot of times. But sometimes I'm surprised, and it's kind of cool. But when I'm pulling into the driveway, I mean, if the driveway's all beat up, it's got grass growing in it, you walk up to the front door that's never been painted, you got toys, you got a mess, you've got garbage sitting out on the front lawn, I pretty much know what's coming in the house, you know, and it's pretty scary. And I walked into some that didn't smell very good. And you know what? God says his plan for you is the driveway, and he gets you to that house, and he wants you to become the house of love. We're going to talk more about it because that is God's desire for you. So this is what we've established today. God came from heaven in the form of his son, Jesus. He died on a cross for you. Everything Jesus did while he was here was motivated by love. It was not motivated by punishment, guys. It was motivated by love. Jesus didn't come spouting rules and regulations. He did not come. He said, the law is fulfilled in me. Jesus came to bring you grace. Grace and truth are realized in Jesus Christ. That's John chapter 1, I think about verse 14. Grace and truth are realized in Jesus. Jesus came to show us the Father. The Father is love. And we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this topic. Cricket and Kristen are still here with me. They haven't gone anywhere. They haven't even had a candy bar break or anything like that.
You locked us in.
Oh, I did. I locked you in. Kidding. Yeah, that door's locked. Are you ready to talk?
Yes.
What did you just hear right then?
Well,
give me a chance to drink some water here.
You started off talking about if you're afraid and the fear aspect of loving one another. And it just came to my mind so clearly, you know, we are so good at, at least I am, I kind of lose my inhibition when I'm by myself. You know, I can dance around the house and not care what, you know,
nobody's looking
at, you know, I'll sing at the top of my lungs, yeah, in the car, you know,
right.
When other people aren't around, we kind of lose our inhibition. And probably the next step to that, the next closest that we're our most real self is when our spouse or our partner, or, you know, our family is there. That's probably our next step,
right,
as real as we are. Well, think about I just was thinking about, you know, if you can be that loose and just free in your mind.
Amen.
When you're by yourself, just realize that when you're there, that you're with God.
Amen.
And that if you have a hard time communicating love to other people or showing other people love, start there by yourself. And just realize that you're with God.
Amen.
And start showing that love to God and start talking to God about that. I just, you know, sometimes we think about talking to God and it's this praying and what's that mean? And I don't pray. But you know what? Just be by yourself.
Just talk.
And talk to God and share
great
that
point.
Love with him. So that just came out in my mind. I wanted
great.
To share that.
That's a great point.
Well, and I, you know, you asked a question in the last segment of talking about why don't we think people do this so easily, shed these inhibitions and love freely and get on God's way. And right here, when we were in 1 John in chapter 4 at the end, it says fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment is one not yet fully formed in love. If you have these things, fear of judgment, I think, is a great reason to answer that question. Is I think people are afraid because of the misconception of what God and being Christian
yes.
and following after Jesus is. They think it's a big bag of judgment.
Right.
And whereas there are things that God gives us wonderful guidelines to enhance our lives, to keep us safe,
yes.
to keep us away from trouble, to help us to
right.
deal with and communicate with others and maneuver through this life, it's not about judgment for him. It's, you know, you look at good parents.
Right.
I don't know what kind of parents everybody had out there, but good, balanced parents love their children and discipline them
yes.
equally.
Right.
And when the child starts to go awry, off to the right or the left, they will immediately get the child back on track. And sometimes that's by grounding them
right.
or, you know, different things that the child doesn't like it, but discipline helps you form good habits
amen.
To where you can maneuver on your own well. You know, it's just like taking your car in for maintenance. The car is just a mechanical thing. But if a car had a mind, it might not always like to go in and get its oil changed. It might want to go, you know, keep running around in the field of mud and keep having fun and whatnot. But if you don't take the time to take that
I
car,
never thought about
this is like a cartoon car.
Right.
But if you don't take the car in for maintenance and
right.
do what needs to be done,
yes.
It will eventually break down. Well, it's the same as us. If we don't
right.
maintenance ourselves,
yes.
and our maintenance manual is the word of God.
Amen.
That is our maintenance manual. If we don't maintain ourselves,
right.
we break down.
Exactly. Wow. We got to do it.
We got it.
And we maintain by getting in the Word, studying the Word, and finding out what God is saying for our lives.
Right.
And guys, in essence, in one word, it is God is love. And as you learn to read the pages, as you get in there and you find out about his nature, you find out that he created you and you are special to him.
Mm-hmm.
He has a purpose for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all the things that we hear that the Bible says and all the representations out there of what Christianity is about, how the Message Bible puts this, and I know it's in the NIV and all the King James as well, but love others as you love yourself. I think it's probably the same in all three, in
yeah.
all major translations. Love others as you love yourself. That is the summarizing point of the Bible.
Amen.
Love other people.
Yeah.
Love them as you love yourself too. That's included in there. And that, I just, that
but
is,
it's hard sometimes because people mm-hmm. aggravate us.
Yeah, they're not always lovable.
They're not always nice.
And we're not always in a mindset to be loving or lovable ourselves.
Right.
So what is that nature of love that allows you to do that? What is it that makes up love? I mean, we're using that word a lot today, but what goes into actually loving other people, especially when they're unlovable?
Like the compassion and all of those types
yeah,
of things?
I guess so.
I think it's just that. I think the fruit of the Spirit has a lot to do with it when it talks about gentleness, kindness. Those are all attributes to
yeah.
love,
yeah.
compassion.
Yeah.
That's what really defines love
mm-hmm.
by having all those things with other people. A kind word, a soft word, even when correcting or you know, adjusting someone's point of view or disciplining your children. Sometimes you have to be firm, but you can always be kind. You
right.
can always
and
be
gentle.
That's really hard. That's really hard for me. I'm not gentle naturally. Kristen's smiling a little smile like, yes, saying the least there. I'm not naturally gentle. I have to work at being gentle, and I still barely kind of chip away at gentle probably when I'm really trying hard.
Right.
But those all, you know, form up the ball of love.
Right.
And you can't have one and maybe two of them without the rest, or you're kind of having a fake love.
Right.
Or at least an incomplete love. That's
not
sure.
fully formed.
That's right. Not fully formed, just as the word. That's right.
And it takes time to learn how to love.
It does.
We are not saying today that we are the experts on this. No, we're not. But we are saying that we understand the principle that God is love and that his love is in our hearts when you accept him by faith. What you get is a big package of love. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yes. And what we are saying also is, I know the three people that are in this room want to go further with
Yes, we do.
And that's the big key for all that are listening. You might be looking at Monday tomorrow and thinking, well, I can't accomplish all this by tomorrow. And my next conversation with my spouse is probably not going to go great because it just was so terrible yesterday or just 5 minutes ago. But you can make a decision to say, I want to go further and I want to be trainable. I want to be teachable. And you just open up your heart, just like that song said.
Open up your heart and sing.
Open up your heart. Now, doesn't that make you so vulnerable?
Yes.
Open up your
People
heart.
Don't like to do that. But
no,
if
scary.
We open our heart and say, God, I don't know how to love. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're
Honest.
Listening out there today and you've been in a relationship. Maybe you're on the verge of divorce. Maybe you're in a relationship that's been very, very painful for you. And you know you really care about this person, but maybe the spark is gone and you're just tired of being hurt. I would encourage you right now where you are to say, God, I don't know how to love this person anymore. They've hurt me so much, I don't even know where to begin. But if you are a born-again believer, when you got saved, the love of God is in there. It's a seed. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. It is there. It is in you. And God can grow that, like growing a big corn stalk in Indiana from a little corn seed, because all it takes is a seed of corn in the ground in a farm in Indiana, and you're going to get a big, tall stalk of corn with all kinds of seed on that stalk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with the seed. And dear friend, if you have Jesus in your heart, you got the seed of love in you right now. This is the how-to, you know?
Nurture it.
How-to. I've got to get back to walking, by the way. You say, where did that come from? Because I determined starting tomorrow, I am back on my treadmill or I'm back outside with my dogs every day walking at least 30 minutes because I feel better when I walk, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have got
Good
to
stuff.
Do that, okay? I know I need to do that. I pray when I walk. Mm-hmm. I feel better. My dogs feel better. Stress levels. I know that that is good for me. Guys, let me tell you out there, it is good for you to grow the love seed that's on the inside of you.
I highly encourage everybody to do those things together. We have recently started walking in a nature preserve that has no houses, or well, the one side has houses way back over there, but
it takes a really long time to get there.
There's no houses or cars or anything like that. It is back in a nature preserve.
What does that do for you?
Well, last night we didn't get lost, but hadn't taken that path before, so it was a 2-hour walk instead of a 45 minute walk. And you know, by the end of that, we were so exhilarated and so tired, but so full of God and all his goodness, because we were just in a place where he created
nature.
And nobody else created that, you know?
Right.
But the other part was that we took that time and we prayed and we sang, we talked about God, and not that you have to do it while you're walking, but it is a great way to
grow the love.
To grow that love of God. To just notice the things around you that God has done in your life or God has created.
Let's talk about that a minute, because yesterday I was driving for 5 hours from Georgia from my retreat, which was wonderful. And I had a couple phone calls. But basically for 5 hours, I just praised God. Mm-hmm. I put some music on and I put the pedal to the metal and I just let it drive and put on cruise control and I just praised God and I felt so strong and so built up in the love of God and I was pouring out my love to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that song earlier on purpose, sing, open up your heart and sing. And guys, I think a lot of times we just let all that bitterness and all that junk on the inside of us just get worse and worse because we don't open up our hearts.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
like
let
sediment.
It out.
Yeah, it's like sediment that floats to the bottom and it just kind of sits there. If you don't have that outlet to push those things out, I mean, it's not a physical thing that happens. There's nothing in the air or anything actually physically touchable that's happening to you. But spiritually, there's like a rain that comes down and it rinses out that crummy sediment out
amen.
Of you. And it does literally just push it out. It doesn't just make it better. It doesn't coat it. It pushes it out. It gets rid of it out of your life by simply just praising and opening yourselves up to God and maybe a little bit different way than you did the day before, maybe the exact same way. God is so inspirational, and he's there with you,
right,
inspiring all of this going on at the same time. It's a duet, if you will,
right,
when you're praising God, when you're even just by yourself. It can be a whole orchestra if you're with your church on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
But it just rinses and pushes it. You know, it says in the Word that the Word washes us clean.
Amen.
Now, how that doesn't make sense. You're thinking bleach water tied into the washing. It's like what goes in comes out. It
right.
just pushes out the crummy and leaves his sweet, sweet spirit remaining.
Amen.
And the longer and the more often that you do that, the shorter gaps between those times that you spend with God, the more intense that spirit is with you all the time. The more we walk in that and
Amen.
Think about it and pray about everything, and every time we feel a little, I mean, Paul has encouraged us to be constantly in prayer.
Amen.
Constantly talking with God. That seems so huge to me, even still, now that I've been a Christian for decades, which is weird to say that I've been a Christian for decades, but nevertheless, I have been. Yeah. But I'm becoming more and more
over
of
three
that.
Decades.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
You just, the more you commune with him, the more the perspective is set correctly. It's like resetting everything that goes wrong.
Right.
He resets it.
If you're listening out there right now with a pen and a pencil, or a pen and a paper.
Here we go.
Pen and a paper.
Can't write on your pencil.
We're going to talk about these. Of course, we don't plan this, by the way. This is the Holy Spirit just really coming through us right now. I think we need to sum this up in how to walk in the love of God, okay? Mm. And you just gave one, and what was it? They can put it down their paper right now. How do we walk in the love of God? What's one way?
One way is communing with God
communing with God.
Increase your communion with God.
Talking to him, mm-hmm. meditating on his word.
And you know what? If you can meditation, are these too big of words? Are they a little scary? Well, let's sum them up easy. If you can worry, I heard someone say this the other day, it was great. If you can worry, then you can meditate, because that's what you're doing. When you worry, you're just mulling over and over, looking at it at every angle. Well, do that on something better, like God
right.
and his plan for you, instead of the crummy stuff, and you're meditating instead
Praise
of worrying.
God.
If you will just meditate on God, think about him, think about this
how
area.
How much he loves you.
How much he loves you and how he's taking care of these situations.
Amen.
Meditate on the things that you struggle with right now. If you struggle with fear, if you struggle with worry, if you struggle with temper, meditate on, you know, get in your concordance of your Bible, or go online. There's tons of Bible websites that you can type in a phrase, and it will give you scripture after scripture of what you can
cool.
find on fear and all
right.
these things. If you struggle with your temper, type in temper, or find it in your concordance. Study those in every day. Just work those out in you.
So you say meditate.
Meditate.
On God's word.
Yep. And talk with him. You know, have
okay.
a relationship with him.
That's the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Although this is no order. This is the order that they're coming out of
right.
us right now. But there's no order of importance here.
Right.
So number one, you got to meditate on the word of God. Number two, you got to talk to God.
Yep.
And say, God, I don't feel like I'm full of love. I don't really feel it at all. I don't feel like I can even love so-and-so after what they did to me. You talk to him and you say, here's where I am. You admit where you are,
mm-hmm.
and then ask God to do something in you. What's another one, Kristen?
Putting good things in.
Oh.
Putting good things in. Taking time. We've talked about the word of God.
Right.
And that's part of that, meditating on that word. But taking time to put good things into you so good things come out.
Mm-hmm.
And you've probably heard us say, I've heard this, I've heard that. We take time to listen to praise music, to
Amen.
Listen to our preacher teach, to hear the word of God. We in many ways, and maybe this is meditate continually on the word of God, but putting good things into our mind. Think about things that are lovely, things that are good.
That's
things
Philippians
that are precious.
4:8. Yes.
Don't they say nowadays that when you're trying to replace a habit, like if you're a smoker
right.
or if you eat junk food, or you don't, I don't know, whatever bad habit that you have that you want to change, don't they say that you have to actually replace the behavior? You can't just really get rid of it. You have to, it's just like, which makes sense. If you spent time doing this, then you have to fill that time doing something else. Rather,
right.
it's even standing still and breathing.
Right.
You have to refill that time slot with a new activity. So I think that's what you're basically saying.
Take, that's good.
You know, you're old and put the correct. I think another step that we have to take that probably no one wants to really hear, but you have to discipline yourself to physically do the things then that God wants you to do in your life.
Amen.
So if that is, if you have a problem with having a bad temper, I don't know why that keeps coming up, but I'll just use that as my example for the day. Okay. If you have a temper problem and you've been reading about it, you've been meditating on it, you've been praying, God, release me from this. And Father, I thank you because you are faithful to take this away because you did not want me to be a creature of filled with temper and anger. Right. And then you have to actually, when temper shows up,
right,
you have to restrain. You there have you to discipline yourself to then act, because we are physical beings in having a, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience.
There you
that
go.
Means we have to physically do the things that God wants us to do. And those are all found through the Word. And I'm sure whenever you look up temper or you look up fear, or all the things that you want to work on in your life, it's going to say, most of them say, you are not meant to be fearful, da da da. And then it'll give a little thing about, because if you have fear, then this is da da da. And it gives you encouragement to not,
right,
be fearful.
To not be fearful.
And it will probably even give you some things to actually do, but we have to learn to be disciplined creatures.
I agree. I'm an on and off again member of Weight Watchers. And right now I'm an off again member of Weight Watchers. But when I'm an on again member of Weight Watchers, I find that I am very conscious because I have to weigh in every Wednesday at 8:30. Mm-hmm. So I guess I better be an on-again member of Weight Watchers because there's another 10 pounds I want to get off. So, you know, when I consistently go to Weight Watchers and all week long, then I realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to have to weigh in. I'm going to have to be careful. No, it's not good to put that, you know, thing in my mouth. Let's, instead of 5 handfuls of M&Ms, let's just cut it down to 1 today or whatever the case may be. Guys, discipline is critical here because we have to discipline ourselves to walk in love. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying here. Okay.
How do you feel when you're doing the Weight Watchers thing?
I feel better about myself.
Don't
really
you feel
do.
Like you're more free,
yeah,
even though?
Yeah.
I mean, there's two ways of looking at that. I'm shackled to Weight Watchers. I'm shackled to this diet.
It's just
I'm shackled.
A way or of eating. It's all
by
this.
Simply having, I mean, think about the time that you have that's free to you versus, right, the time that you actually spend at Weight Watchers in that way. And is it more freedom for you to be connected with Weight Watchers and be losing
is.
Weight and all, isn't it? Because then otherwise, yeah, you're shackled to the bulge. I mean, it really depends on the perspective you're looking at it.
Well, and when you begin to, for instance, lose weight, mm-hmm, there's a phrase at Weight Watchers is, nothing tastes as good as thin feels.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as you begin to do that and discipline yourself, it feels good. And guys, listening audience out there, it feels good to be the house of love.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good to walk in the love of God. It feels great to raise our hands and praise God. It feels good to sing praises to God. It feels good to wrap your arms around somebody and hug them and say, I love you with the,
amen,
love of the Lord.
Mm.
I was doing that today, wasn't I? At the end of the service, mm-hmm, God just told me just to jump around everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of you are going, jump around. No, I was just running to all the praise team up there and just give them a little hug and a little, you know, just a, I love you. And because God just said for me to do that today. And it felt good. I was just running all over, finding somebody to hug. And just, and it's, it feels good when we discipline ourselves to walk in love instead of bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, hurt, pain.
There's just this freedom, and this is a biblical principle that the discipline that God calls us to, that obedience, that's where we find our freedom.
Amen.
That is where we find our freedom.
Yes.
And we talk about living a life of freedom in Christ, and that's what it's about, is living a disciplined life of love.
Yes.
And when I've been making changes in my life recently. This is something I was saying to Cricket recently, that my whole life I've said, I need to become a disciplined person. I want to be I've known this word since I was a young child, discipline, disciple, and I've struggled with it my whole life, and I've been making some good changes in my life recently to do some of these things, and I'm not perfect at it by any means, but yesterday, I don't even know what was going on, but I remember having one of those victories where I knew that I was responding differently than I normally would,
wow,
in that situation.
Praise God, yes.
And there was such a freedom.
Amen.
There was such a wonderful feeling that because I've taken the time to change my mind and try to respond in love and not respond how I normally would, and
praise God,
to do that. And I'm, even if at first this was my original response, but I changed it and I went with that walk of love.
Praise
God. And those moments, there is so much freedom when you have that. There is so much joy, and it all goes together.
Freedom just frees you up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wait a minute. Love frees you up is what I meant to say. Freedom frees you up. Love frees you up.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to end on just reading the last portion of Galatians 5. Well, not the last portion, but 16 through 18. Paul writes to the Galatians here right after what we just read in Galatians. My counsel is this. Live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there's a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence?
Oh, that's good. I could take off and preach on that right now.
That's good
stuff. Hey, listen a moment. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. I've got something important to tell you, but we'll be right back.
Beacon of Hope is a place designed with you in mind. That means we don't expect you to look or act a certain way. We want you to feel comfortable and infected each week through great music, authentic community, and relevant teaching. Sunday morning dress is casual and the coffee is always hot. Beacon of Hope welcomes all people, all origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. You'll meet people just like you. Beacon of Hope is located at 1812 Main Street, Dunedin, Florida. Check us out on the web at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Come and experience with us at Compass Wednesday evenings at 7 and every Sunday morning, now beginning at 11. Find the true direction and meaning you've been looking for in your life.
Praise God. Let my life song sing to you, mighty God. This is what we're called to do. Praise God. This radio ministry is new for us, and actually today is our 3-month anniversary. 3 months ago today, April 15th, was our first show, Lee. We have a great engineer in there on the other side. Can you believe it's been 3 months already?
It seems much shorter than that.
Does it? I know. We're just loving it. We just love being on the air. 3 months today. Okay.
Well, we love having you.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. It's exciting to be able to share the word. And we started out with a 60-minute show and then ended up going to a 90-minute right away because we are so full of talk. We just have so much to say.
We'll just say it that way.
But let me tell you something else brand new. So the radio ministry is a new thing for us at Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're glad you join in. Please tell people about it every Sunday at 4:30. We have something new and exciting also that has just happened. This is so cool because God has been pouring books into me, and my first publication, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace, is now out. You can find it on Amazon.com, and you can find it at Barnes & Noble. It can be ordered there, but I would encourage you to order it from us through our Beacon of Hope website, which is www.beaconofhopeministries.com. For the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have a special. It's normally $12.99 plus $2 shipping and handling. For the next 2 or 3 weeks, you can get it directly from Beacon of Hope for $12 even. We'll take care of the shipping and handling. We want to get as many of these books out as possible. It is a tremendous book because God has just poured his anointing into it of years of going through tests and trials and trying to figure out, God, what are you doing in my life? Did I hear you correctly? Where have you gone? What is going on? How could you possibly use this test or this trial? This coming Wednesday night at Compass at Beacon of Hope Ministries, we will unveil the book and everybody will get to see it for the first time. And we're excited about it. So go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and order your copy for $12. If you order 3, you can get another discount and so forth, and that will be on the website, so you can go and look there. Kristen, a final thought of today, House of Love.
My final thought is that love is a gift that God has given us, and what we can do with it is study about it and learn about it and love God. And when we love God and in turn give that love out, we're going to experience the joy and the love that God has for us.
So, oh, amen.
It's a gift to us.
It's a gift to us.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that I keep thinking about is simply this. It's kind of funny, especially for you, Red M&M.
It usually is. Okay.
Usually is. If love is like chocolate,
Okay.
And chocolate is kind of like love. You know, they release similar chemical reactions. And it's that good of a feeling thing.
Yeah.
Almost like eating chocolate without calories.
Amen.
Why wouldn't we want to really immerse ourselves and really be good at it?
Ooh,
I mean, because love, doesn't like it feel great? I mean, why do we get so jazzed up and so excited when we have a new love in our life and we start that dating process? I mean, does anything feel better? I mean, people stop eating.
Right.
And they lose weight, and all of a sudden their hair gets better looking.
Instead of going to Weight Watchers, I can just find a new love.
You can fall in love.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's an excellent diet plan, I tell you. It's worked for me. And I mean, it feels so good to love.
Amen.
It feels so incredibly to love on people and to have that balanced life. If it's that good, and now that we've seen firsthand, the Word says, I can sum up the whole Word of God. And if that's not an incredible thing to stumble upon in the Word of God, I don't know what it is. If you can summarize it in one sentence, I'm all about it. And it's
right.
God is all about love. Love one another.
Amen.
Like God loves us. Golden rule. Easy. Well, then let's just be all about that. Let's be all about God's kind of love. What could be simpler?
Exactly.
And what could feel better?
Oh, these are great thoughts. Next week, we are going to go get into nitty gritty on how to love those difficult people in our lives. And what that means and what we can do differently than what we're doing right now. And we're going to get some nitty-gritty things about that. How to love those difficult people and what does God expect of us?
That's good.
Praise God. It's been great. Go to our website and order a copy of my new book. It's fantastic. We got another new one coming out in a few weeks, and we're excited about that too, but I'm not going to tell you about that one right now. So go there. We're so glad you tuned in today. Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. We have a wonderful new group up in Indiana with Joan and Leonard Tungate, and you can call them at 765-529-2786 to find out about the Monday night Bible study of Beacon of Hope in Newcastle, Indiana, meets every Monday night at 5 o'clock. Joan was on last week with us. She'll be on again soon. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Cricket, and Kristen, Beacon of Hope Ministries. See you next week.
See you later.
That welcomes all people, origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. This is Conversation Radio, all about real life, real truth, and real purpose. Join us again next Sunday evening from 4:30 to 6 as we continue our discussion of more hope for your future. Connect with us at beaconofhopeministries.com, getting you on the road to living the good life.